Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Lou Huff and Heather Steele. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello.
Can I just tell you, this is a really big day for me because pretty big. In the world of COVID, when things that were once small are big, because a tile fell on my foot.
Ow.
In December. And I've been
waiting. I was wondering where we were going to go.
This is why. This is all you, I mean, you know this. But, it fell on my foot in December and I've had a mangled big toenail since December. I thought it would be like a 2 month thing. Well, and then it got to the point like a few weeks ago, I had a medical pedicure like 2 months ago when they were first allowed back and that kind of helped, but I still had to wait for the old toenail to fall off, which is gross. Anyway, and then it did that like 10 days ago. And then last night I went and got an acrylic put on it and look, I've got two matching feet again.
For those that can't see, Charlotte's now parading her toes.
I am.
In a very
lovely beautiful
colour.
Pedi. Well, it's actually not that beautiful because I did it myself. But how insane that you can just have a nail rebuilt.
What
left
have you
from the
been
file.
Doing with your toe up
yes,
until this
so you, I've been able to paint like on the toe. So I've been able to paint like all of that.
Okay.
What, the skin?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, that's a good idea. Yeah.
But it's just looked like a real, it looks like, you know, when people bite their nails.
And
so there's
really
like a stump.
Stumpy.
It just looks like that.
Will that ever fully grow back?
I hope so. It
will.
Should.
Yeah.
It should.
Yeah.
But anyway, in the meantime, we've got a shoot for Havaianas next week.
Yeah,
so I thought I'd better sort it out.
Yeah.
And I'm just so happy to have a full set of toenails again.
Great.
It's been months and months and months.
I suppose because you go for nice sort of pale colours on your toes. Like I always go for reds usually, so it'd be very obvious, I think, if I had half a toenail. So that's probably quite a good idea.
Yeah, well, I had to go dark when I first had the medical pedicure because it was quite bruised still. Mm. It was quite black, so yeah.
Is it sore still?
No, not sure.
Good.
Not sure. But they told me it could take up to a year for the full regeneration to happen.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
I know. Well, I'm very pleased for you.
I know, thanks. I'm really happy.
Lewis once caught his toenail under.
Oh, don't. This is the kind of stuff that makes me feel sick.
Like, it was like a plug in the middle of the bath, which kind of got like a grate underneath it.
And did it rip off?
That's the kind of shit I can't stand.
Oh, we were in Paris and I was like, oh, it's so romantic. I wonder if he's going to propose while we're here. And then that happened. And I was like, yeah, end off.
Just carrying a ring around like, not today.
How romantic. And I literally had to like tie a dressing gown, like cable around it to stop the bleeding. It was so bad.
I thought I was going to be sick when that tile fell on my toe. It's the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life.
Because even if you drop a shampoo bottle or something, on your foot, it can really hurt.
This was like a huge. It was like I don't know what the dimensions were, but it was like a massive concrete tile. Anyway,
yeah,
it's fine. I live to tell the tale, and 7 months later, I have toenails again. So happy days, just in time for summer. What else is going on with you guys?
I've just been watching the football.
Have you?
Honest. Yeah.
Ben last night was like, oh, it's England-Germany at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Are you going to have it on in the office and start working? Yeah. It's like, no.
I really want to. I wanted to ask the powers that be if we can either leave early or do something, but I just know what the answer's going to be.
And you could put it on, though.
Yeah, I'll have like my phone on maybe while I'm writing. Because, it's a big deal.
I really struggle to care.
Yeah,
I love it.
I used to pretend to be into football at like a small phase when
were
I was
one of those girls?
Boys. And then I realised, like, so my family are huge Chelsea fans. And I remember my 7th birthday, the boy I really fancied supported Arsenal. And he had Arsenal put it on, like, on his forehead. So I was like, obviously I'm going to do that. So I did the same, much to the dismay of my family, who were literally like, we're calling off the party. Like, this is it.
Football has taken over. Because especially... before the quarterfinals, which is the stage we're at the moment, there were 3 games on a day. So, it was quite intense. I wasn't watching all of them, but it meant because of my boyfriend watching them all, the TV was occupied at all times.
I was going to say, so you don't just watch England, you'll watch...
Yeah, we've watched, obviously not the 2 p.m. ones, but like when we're on holiday, we'd be like, we'll watch it. Yeah, I did get into it. Last night was very good. There were loads of goals. It was great.
Last night, yes.
I did hear that Switzerland, if not France.
Yeah, which was amazing.
I was trying to watch Love Island and Ben, like on my iPad, and Ben just got into bed with the football on lap. Can you not?
So aggressive.
Exactly. We were, for those wondering, we're saving the Love Island chat for this week's show.
Oh,
so
are we?
We are. So we're gonna keep stream on that for today.
That's...
But also, very exciting game at Wimbledon last night because Wimbledon kicked off.
Yes. Yeah. We started watching a bit of that because, yeah, the ITV hub wasn't working last night. There was people were kicking off online.
Shit, so you couldn't see Love Island?
I managed to watch it. I watched it after the football, so I started watching it at 11:30.
What a late night you've had.
A really late night. It was.
I just called it a game. It's a match. It's a match. I know that. What else have you been watching? Have you watched anything new recently?
No, I haven't. I had a hen last weekend, so a lot of my evenings were kind of spent building up to that. But it was actually so fun. It's the first like party-ish thing I've done in a long time, and it was so much fun.
You organised this hen. So
yeah, there was a group of five of us that were all in on the group. So we had a variety of things. Friday night we went to Treehouse Hotel and had drinks up there, which was really fun. And then Saturday we put on a lunch. It was actually at the hen's house, but we did like a really beautiful tablescape. I got Maison Margaux, did a rental from them, so we got some really lovely tableware. And then one of my friends is really into gardening, and she did this beautiful like floral setting.
I assume that was Maison Margaux who did
that.
Oh, wow.
So all of the flowers were handpicked from her garden or the hen's parents' house.
That's so nice.
So nice.
Yeah, it was really lovely. And she's like recently got really into it. So everything she'd been kind of growing. So yeah, it was a really lovely kind of story to it. And one of my friends did calligraphy for all the name places. We had Zara's Kitchen do all the food, which was delicious. And then we had some cocktail waiters who then turned out to be singing waiters and kind of serenaded the bride-to-be. And one of the singers was actually a really old friend of hers who's also been on the West End.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was really fun. And then we actually got a drag queen in the evening.
That sounds amazing. So,
yeah, great. Great, like, sort of COVID hen, like, in terms of restrictions now.
Yeah.
What perfect plan.
It was really fun. There was like 15 of us, which I think is a good number. And yeah, she just had the best time.
So
that sounds great.
Nice.
But I'm exhausted. Yeah. It's a kind of, it's almost like a full-time job organizing it. And then you have 2 days. 2 days of like socializing is a lot for me.
I know. I've got two hens and a wedding. That's three of July's weekends. I'm a bit stressed about all the fun that's going to be had. Yes. But like quite excited about it.
Yeah. On the Sunday, I literally like spend the whole day in bed.
Yeah.
And actually loved it. Kind of having like a reason to have stayed in bed. It's great.
And it was raining as well. So like zero guilt for not going outside or doing anything.
So true. Heather, anything else that you've been watching? No, just the football.
Not just the football. I've also, if you guys ever watched Shrill?
No.
It's on iPlayer. It's like a US thing. And it's a little bit like Girls, but it came out like a couple of years ago. But the third series has just landed on iPlayer. It stars Aidy Bryant. And she's basically this young journalist who's sort of struggling and working for like this sort of underground, secretly cool, but not sort of weekly paper where she lives. And it's kind of like Girls, but not quite as mean. Like there's lots of very cringy things that happen, but it's all done through like quite a positive lens. And she's has to write a lot of features about the fact that she's like very body positive, so I don't know, it's kind of like all comes together with like her being this like amazing character who's really interesting, got this interesting story, but also just sort of going through life and sort of dating awful men. And it's really fun. It's really easy to watch. It's got like really, really good soundtrack as well. Yeah, a lot of the episodes have been directed by Carrie Brownstein, who is in Slater Kinney and also has done lots of stuff. She was in Portlandia, the main girl from that. So yeah, it's really cool. I'd really recommend it if you haven't seen it. I remember, I think I binged the first two series like sometime during lockdown last year because they were just sort of on iPlayer and I'd heard good things about it. But yeah, the third series, I haven't quite finished it, but I'm enjoying it.
Have any of you seen In the Heights yet?
No.
One of the girls I was with last weekend had been to see it at the cinema and said it was so good.
A Lin-Manuel Miranda musical film is never going to be bad, is it? Yeah, I really want to see it.
Does anyone know what the actual premise is, though? Because I know it's by him and that it's sort of dancing around and looks fun.
It's about the communities that live in... Is it Washington Heights?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's called. It's like upstate New York. And it's about the kind of eclectic South American communities, Puerto Rican specifically, I think. So it's a good way to transport ourselves onto a holiday.
Yeah.
Ish.
Ish.
Yeah.
Lou, I've watched a film that you might like, and you might have seen it. It's called While We're Young. It's Noah Baumbach.
That really, hang on, that really rings a bell. Let me see.
Because I know you liked Frances Ha, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's the same director. It came out in 2014, but it's on randomly on Channel 5 player at the moment. It's really good. It's got Ben Stiller, Naomi Watts, Adam Driver, and Amanda Seyfried.
Oh, yeah, I have seen. I feel like I've maybe watched half of this.
What's it called again, sorry?
While We're Young. While so it's basically Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts are this, I guess they're like mid-40s sort of New York media couple, and they haven't got kids and they've had a great life and relationship together. But then a lot of their friends suddenly start having kids and they're like, oh, you guys should be doing this too. And they're like, don't know if we want to. And then they randomly meet Adam Driver's character, who's a young documentary maker. And apparently really admires Ben Stiller's documentaries that are quite obscure that he did back in the day. And essentially, yeah, the older couples suddenly start hanging out with these sort of 24-year-olds and, like, enjoying life and sort of, yeah, being like, oh, cool, we're like, got some cool new friends now. But then obviously then comes frictions and revelations and whatnot. But it's really good. The casting's really good. And, yeah, just it's really, really good.
It's been on my list for a while and I just haven't watched it.
I've got something to recommend, Physical, which is...
Oh, my God, I was literally thinking about this last night and being like, I really, really want to watch this.
It's really good.
What is it? I recognise the name, but I can't think what it is.
It's a new series on Apple TV and it stars Rose Byrne.
Yes, that's it.
And it's set in the 80s. She is a bored housewife. She's married to a professor. The two of them were kind of these really left-wing hippies who were like the stars of their set kind of back in the university days. But now when we find them, they're a bit kind of washed up, a little bit sad. He's a bit of a kind of tragic case. And through various kind of long convoluted ways, she ends up getting involved in an aerobics class, a kind of Jane Fonda, old school 80s aerobics class. And it's about her journey to kind of aerobics stardom whilst also battling a really severe eating disorder. And you find out in the first episode, this isn't a massive spoiler, that she's basically spent their lifelong savings on a really, it's really graphic and really triggering. Like, if you've ever suffered from an eating disorder, particularly bulimia, I'd say don't watch it because it's really graphic. But she basically spends all their money on these big binging sessions in motels. And it's really unpleasant. So yeah, I haven't finished it. So I'm yet to see kind of how that develops with this kind of newfound aerobics career.
But it's a comedy, right?
No, like there are bits that are amusing, but it's not okay. No, it's definitely not a comedy. No, it's a drama.
Oh, I read an interview with her and I was like, oh, it just sounds like this is like a really like fun, vibey 80s.
It kind of looks vibey and 80s. And like the part of the reason I love it is the aesthetic. So it opens at a dinner party that they're hosting. And as I said, they've got this really kind of 70s influence as a couple and the whole house. I mean, it looks like the Jungle Room in Elvis's house. Oh, and it's cool. Like kind of these thick brown carpets. And she's wearing this Missoni dress and this big hair. And like aesthetically, it's really beautiful. Side note, I really do feel like very few TV shows these days get away with not being aesthetically beautiful. Like, I feel like that's a real trend these days. The other thing I've been watching is, just speaking of 80s things, a series on Netflix with Kirsten Dunst called On Becoming a God in Central America. And it is really long title. And it's actually not brand new. I think it was made pre-pandemic. And she plays... Again, there's some real similarities here. She plays a housewife in kind of middle America and kind of Florida in the 80s. And her husband gets involved with a sort of pyramid scheme business, a kind of one of those really culty ones where, you know, everybody's kind of praying to the leader and whatever. And it's about how she, and again, this isn't a spoiler, but about how this business kind of wrecks her family. And then she makes it her mission to get to the top of the business to bring it down. Again, it's kind of a bit gritty, but visually, I mean, she works in a water park in the 80s. And it's just so, yeah, it's like Fame. Like there's so many headbands and what's the word? Like wrist warmers. And it's just, again, visually really nostalgic. And the two of them together complement each other really well. So I'd recommend both.
God, I remember wearing wrist warmers like for fun on nights out.
And leg warmers were like part of an outfit.
Yeah, I definitely partook in leg warmers.
God, actually, I remember going to a roller disco up in Vauxhall.
Oh, I know the one.
And like doing like dressing like 80s theme. And I was like, well, I've obviously already got my leg warmers.
Tick. I remember, do you remember Accessorize used to do those gloves that were like part glove, part mitten?
Yeah.
So yeah, they were fingerless. Yes. And there's a photo of me at a house party. But like, I was like, I don't know, 13 or 14. And I wore like a going out outfit. And then I just thought it looked really sick to add the mitten.
Yeah, fair.
The accessories.
Yeah,
it was quite affordable. Exactly. So I was wearing like a black top. And then I just had on my stripy mittens.
Love.
Thought it looked sick.
Doesn't it make you so sad that like that generation now won't have any of these fashion faux pas that we've lived through?
I don't know. A lot of the kids I see knocking around just look like sort of what people look like in the 90s in a bad way.
I think up until about a year ago.
Fair play. Like, yeah. I don't mind it. But I don't think they're going to look back and be like, oh, didn't I look nice in my like really scruffy, tracky bottoms?
There's a difference between, because there's like two types of youth today. There's like the kind of boohoo misguided ones, which I agree with you, are less faux pas-y. Yeah.
And they can do amazing makeup, which I still can't do.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Kylie Jenners.
When are they ever going to wear blue eyeshadow? Right. Make that.
But then there's the like kind of edgy like bucket hat kids.
Yeah, they're the ones
like
I see around.
Brooke and Beckham's girlfriend, Mimi Boucher. Like that style, which I agree with you. I think they'll really regret because they're dressing like we dress.
Yeah, they don't have the excuses we have.
No, and also they have social media and we do. Yeah. There's no track record of ours.
Yeah, that's true. A few like family photos on holiday when you look a bit miserable.
Exactly, that's it. I was telling Lou, I saw Romeo Beckham hanging out on the street with a load of friends this weekend, and he had Harper with him, which I just thought was a bit strange.
How old is she now?
She's 9. Cool. For who?
For Harper.
Yeah, but she's 9. She doesn't need like cool life
experiences.
I feel like she'll have just been like been part of their clan all the way through.
But they look like a bunch of kind of moody 16-year-olds who probably wanted to have a cigarette. Do you know what I mean? They kind of were hanging out on a street corner in Notting Hill.
Which Beckham did you see?
Romeo.
Romeo, right. I think
The one with the like acid blonde hair.
Yeah, so I saw a picture of him and his girlfriend at Wimbledon yesterday. I wouldn't have recognised him at all.
Yeah, but I reckon only because I knew he dyed his hair like peroxide, which like can only mean he likes attention, because if you're Beckham trying to stay under the radar, you don't dye your hair peroxide.
David did that back in the day.
They do not stay under the radar.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Anyway, David did do that back in the day.
I remember being like, oh no.
Oh yeah, he can so pull it all off though. Yeah, he can pull off anything. He's so fit.
He really is.
Doesn't do it for me.
What?
No, I don't know.
I don't think I'd like him now if he was just like randomly there. But yeah, I think I still have feelings for him from back in the day.
Hang on, sorry. I feel like we talk about David Beckham quite a lot and you've never said before that he doesn't do it for you.
Feel like I would have said that. Yeah, I did. His voice is just so ingrained. and the fashion faux pas, I just can't see past what I've seen previously as this new person now.
But I feel like there are no fashion faux pas and that it was all just perfect.
Well, that is where we're so different.
I can't remember. I'm sure lots of places have done it, but you know, looking back at Victoria Beckham's Euros outfit back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, oh my God, I just can't believe it.
We were actually talking the other day how wags are not a thing now.
They basically all got banned after that. I can't remember which tournament it was, but the one where it was like wag mania. Yeah. They basically distracted all the players.
It was in the south of France, wasn't it? Yeah. It was Cheryl Tweedy.
I feel like nobody, like the media just don't care about them. Like it used to be like, I mean, all these magazines don't exist anymore.
I think it's not as visible anymore. Or now we've got influencers to kind of feed our desire on that kind of stuff.
Anyway,
I miss all that kind of stuff.
I know, me too. You're right, it's about the lack of magazines. I was talking to I was talking to you the other day about how much, remember Heat magazine? Yeah. And you know that thing how when they used to run through, like, it would be like Russell Brand spotted outside Tesco buying a banana. And like, God, I miss
it. And they used to have the crap spot.
Yes, and it would be like Anthea Turner buying... I don't know.
Or like someone like trying to find 10p to use a paper. Yeah.
But it would be someone really sad. Yeah. But yeah. No offense,
sad. The I did love it. I mean, some of the stuff they used to do was very awful. Yeah. Those, what was it, Circle of Ring of Shame?
Oh,
were
so
awful,
bad.
Awful,
that
awful.
It's just terrible.
Different
the puns they used to do and the photo, whoever used to write the photo captions about 15 years ago was just a hero.
Do you know how you could like go to work and then leave with that on your conscience that you had just written that?
Because it was just such a different no one was aware of the things that we're aware of now, you know. Right. It was just such a different time.
I remember even like them doing a whole special. It might not have even been Heat magazine, it could have been Closer, it could have been various other offenders, but them doing one on like all these pictures of Kate Moss with cellulite. And I don't know, half of me did at the time was like, oh fuck, well if she's got it then who gives a shit. So I don't think I've ever worried about cellulite since. But even so, like to take all those pictures,
it's it's a shame that it's written.
And humiliate, and how they even got those photos in the first place as well. It's a truly grim industry for sure.
Yeah,
but they did used to write some amusing consensual interviews with people. Were always quite funny.
They did. Oh, the good old days. We crowdsourced some questions for the podcast today, so I thought I'd hit you with what our readers want to know. These are so good. These are so varied. I'm just going to flip between all of them.
I have no idea. Yeah, same.
Do you know what? Neither do I. I just screenshotted them and didn't even look at them. So let's go through. What are the sandals to buy this summer that you'll come back to year after year? Love from Paris. Lou?
Well, mine is the classic Birkenstock. I have worn them for years and years and years. And I know some people don't like them. And yeah, they are my forever sandal in the white Arizona. Super comfortable, very practical, and chunky shoes are still in. So yeah.
Not going anywhere. No. I feel like your answer is your... Did you say Teva or Teva?
Everyone says Teva, but I think there was something I read last week where someone was like, oh shit, it's actually Teva.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I've been wearing these mainly because I just, I can walk into the sea with them. I can go for a hike if I so wish. Walk to the
office.
Your life
is much more exotic than mine. Yeah. There's no hiking or seas to be found anywhere in my life. So.
But I do like Birkenstocks as well, but mine are a little bit battered, but I'm too traumatized by wearing them in the first time around to get a new pair. Because I bought them because everyone's like, they're the comfiest shoes you'll ever wear. And I was sort of like hobbling around Naples with about 10 plasters.
Wearing her shoes.
I mean, that was idiotic.
No, but especially Birks do take a bit of...
But I had worn them quite a few times and they were comfy. But yeah, I guess as soon as you have to do any long distances. Mm. However, when I had worn them in...
Great.
They were amazing.
I really fancied like a bold coloured pair. Mm. Like, you know, the ones that are kind of
bold. I thought you were very anti.
I'm not anti them on other people. It's just not my style. But I feel like a kind of... bright red basically I just want the red Chanels. I'll just buy a pair of red Birkenstocks instead. But I don't just mean the leather, I mean like the whole thing
Sliders.
Exactly.
I kind of feel like they are the type of shoe that you can go for something a bit more fashion, something a bit more plain. Kind of they can, I think, suit everybody.
Agreed. Best restaurant in London. I say favorite restaurant. Those are two different questions, aren't they? So can we have a favorite and can we have a best in your opinion? Heather, do you have a list?
I do have a list.
Oh, Cher said list.
What's on the list? Just like places you
rate. Started doing a list because Lou over there suggested I did a little black book for the site. So I'm doing it in about 3 weeks. I've started jotting down ideas as they come to me. Hang on a sec.
Nice.
But it's not with me right this sec. But I have got a different list on here.
Some people keep a list of like reviews, don't they? They're like...
This is really difficult. I've spoken about it a lot, but I do really like Noble Roth on Lamb's Conduit Street. Yeah. It's really good wine, really good food, really dark and atmospheric, and sort of the kind of food you'd maybe get in a slightly stuffier restaurant, but it's really, really relaxed. And I like that whole street.
I was just about to say, great street for a wonder.
For everything, for shopping. The Lamb, which is a pub, is really good. Ciao Bella, which is a really good Italian's on there as well.
My like cheap and cheerful would be Padella, just like the best Italian food. Then for something fancy, I'd say Spring or River Cafe.
The answers.
River Cafe is the one place actually I'm desperate to go to, but I've just never got around to it because it's so horrifically out of my budget. But one day.
It's also very far. I mean, obviously it depends where you live. Yeah. It's not central London. Yeah. So
it's also not anywhere near a tube. Exactly. It's like in Hammersmith, but sort of
on the river, is it?
The river, but like basically in a residential area. Anyway.
Yeah, super random.
But yeah, that is super special. And yours?
For kind of every day, not every day, but you know, like somewhere that's not a super treat, Cicconi's. I just think you literally cannot go wrong. I just love it. And for a treat, I know, Hyde.
Ooh.
I think Hyde is the best food in London. Hyde upstairs, not downstairs.
What's the difference?
Downstairs is more casual.
Okay.
Upstairs, in terms of menu, upstairs is still, it's not like a stuffy, it's a really modern, smart restaurant. And I think the food is
absolutely exquisite.
Oh, I've only been for breakfast there and been meaning to go for dinner for ages.
I went for breakfast not long ago and I didn't like it because I don't like going to smart restaurants for breakfast because you don't get enough food.
I know, yeah.
You just don't. You go to these places and you get like a really beautiful little bit of avocado sliced onto like a tiny bit of sourdough. Like, no, I need like sourdough and avo. You know, like
say very business. Like at breakfast, those places I find is full of corporate clients.
I don't know about you guys as well, but I feel like breakfast menus just are a breakfast menu.
Yeah.
Wherever you go, it's the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes fancy places will try and make it more unique by adding like funky herbs or like weird flavours. And it's like, just don't mess.
Exactly that.
With what breakfast is.
Yeah. I don't need like strawberry infused avo on my avo and toast. Heather, you've had some thinking time.
I've had some thinking time. So one of mine, which is definitely up there, is Quo Vadis, which it's a members club, but they have got a restaurant, small, very small, but lovely restaurant downstairs where Jeremy Lee cooks amazing food and the menu changes every day and it's so atmospheric. It's got loads of stained glass windows and it's just really delicious food and it's in the middle of Soho, which is my favourite spot in London. So yeah, I definitely would recommend booking a table there. I also really love Sketch. I've only been twice, but I think if you are going to go for that kind of big statement fine dining experience.
You mean Sketch, the fancy bit of Sketch?
I do mean that, but I also like the main dining hall as well. Like, it's just, I just really love it in there. And I know Pink is maybe a bit like overdone now, but I feel like they were doing it first.
Yeah, they were.
And it's still great.
But the upstairs, what, the
You've been to that one? I haven't. Ago, we I'd went, love to.
Oh, I thought that's, sorry, I thought that's what you meant.
No,
we went for my mum's 50th, so that was, sorry, mum, over a decade ago. but I remember it being weird and wonderful.
Yeah.
But like quite weird.
And then for like casual dining, I love Bao. I just think they do things really well. And not even just the actual Bao themselves, like all like the side orders and the drinks and everything.
I think. My most visited super casual is Bone Daddy's.
Oh, I love Bone Daddy's
once a week. Yeah,
they've got one by Victoria Station now as well. So sometimes if I do meet friends in London, it's quite a good one for me to meet them at, because then I can just nip back to Brighton quite quickly.
Yeah.
But I really rate them.
Oh, fucking love a ramen.
Really tasty.
Yeah, really tasty. Somebody has said top three desert island picks. I assume that means like things that you would take with you to a desert island. However, I would like to know, I feel like everybody has some of their desert island discs up their sleeve. So I want to know just one. Like, if you had to go on desert island discs and you had to pick one hero song.
Only one?
One song that you would absolutely take on your desert island and why. Heather, you were looking stumped again. Maybe I should start.
It's because you're basically asking me about my favourite things and it's very hard to try and...
When you said it, the first thing that came to my mind, and I know this is not cool, anything by the Lighthouse Family.
Okay.
Because when I was growing up, that was like really, it's kind of, I think, the soundtrack to my childhood. And I remember my mum had a white Golf and I remember she had the cassette tape album and like listening to that like on my way to school or on my way on holiday or whatever. So I really, that's got like real nostalgic memories, probably Lifted.
Yeah,
tune. So yeah, that just kind of takes me back to happy times when I was young.
Heather, have you got
one? Oh, I'm really struggling because I like all sorts, but just from having a quick scroll, I think something by Nile Rodgers.
Not Niall Horan.
Something uplifting and joyful.
Okay.
His bass lines are the best in the biz as well. So I think I could definitely just keep nodding along to that on a desert island.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yours? Mine, if I had to pick one, it would be Hall & Oates.
Oh, I love
I can't remember what it's called.
You know, I do but
it, that's it. That was our song after our first dance at our wedding because I knew it would get everybody on the dance floor. Yeah, and it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it.
I just can't listen to that song without seeing that film.
500 Days of Summer.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that film. Okay, I need to
Oh my God, no. I love that
Yeah, but
film.
Is it going to ruin that song for me?
No,
it's like a really good scene. It's actually the best scene of the whole film.
Isn't it funny how films can do that? Like, I absolutely love the Pina Colada song. Like, I love it so much, but then it always reminds me of The Sweetest Thing, which is like the weirdest, filthiest film ever made.
So an advert for like a bank or something a few years ago, which really like ruined
Does the Hall & Oates. That's also in an advert, and it's a shame. I know, I don't know why they do that.
Yeah.
Well, it kills it. Well, I know why, but yeah, it really kills it. Lou, are leather jackets still fashionable? Somebody asks.
I think a leather jacket is a really good piece to have in your repertoire if you feel good in them. So we often have this conversation, Charlotte, you don't feel
good in leather jackets.
Yeah, we do often talk about it in terms of body shape.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that people kind of tout as a capsule wardrobe essential. But for me, because it cuts kind of right on your hips, if you've got bigger thighs, I find it just super unflattering. So I think I completely understand why it's essential if you're more up and down.
Yeah, so for me, it definitely is. And I've always loved a leather jacket. I kind of, if you have a more simplified uniform, which I do, then something like then adding a leather jacket is kind of a very simple way to sort of make it look a little bit more interesting. So yeah, for me it always will be. I actually haven't worn my leather in a really long time. I don't know if that's so because we haven't been in the office in
cool weather. It's been raining a lot.
It's quite muggy though, isn't it, for a
it's also
jacket
not
right
really
now.
The type of thing you wear inside.
No.
So
although Amrit wore one the other day and I thought she looked really cool. She was wearing like a black polo neck.
Yeah, I've seen her wear that. Yeah, she does look good.
Absolutely love my leather, and I've got two. One I did not buy large enough, it's also, at the time I loved it, it's a really, really dark navy, but sun has made it go a little bit too light. So I need to send it to the restory to store. But a black kind of biker will always be in my wardrobe.
Someone said, can you talk about female friendships, your approach, your highs versus your lows?
Oh, that's big.
It's really big. But do you have one tip for having really good female friendships other than finding nice friends? Because that's kind of key.
Making the effort constantly, I think. It's so easy, I think, especially when you've been friends with people for like well over a decade, to just kind of be like, yeah, we're best friends, but not, you know, and then not actually make the effort to just keep seeing people as much as you want to and can do and things like that. Especially over the last year, I saw some of my friends from uni for dinner a couple of weeks ago, which was amazing. And we wanted to meet up for dinner anyway. Went to Hawksmoor, another place that I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they hadn't been before and we had like really, really lovely time. I arrived a bit late because of trains, and they had basically already said like, right, we've decided we're going to do this every month. And I know that sounds like, you know, some friendship groups do literally live in each other's pockets and see each other all the time. But I think when you're sort of scattered about a bit more, it's easy with WhatsApp and everything to just keep like every day sending silly messages and whatnot. But I don't know, actually physically seeing people properly and just trying to make the effort as much as possible, I think, is very important. And it is something that can be harder to do. The older you get and the more responsibilities you have and distance and whatnot. It's like any relationship, you've got to keep. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, grass.
Yeah, exactly. I think as well, like doing that, I find meeting up after work quite difficult because I feel like everyone has had like a shitty commute or like a stressful day, or they're sort of thinking about something, or they're still checking their emails, whatever, and it's hard to sort of fully switch off. And I feel like it's only kind of after a couple of hours that you kind of then get there. And I think kind of doing something on the weekend or kind of having a day together just is so I mean, I know it's not easy and it kind of feels quite indulgent to do that with everyone's so busy, but when you do, I think you kind of really see someone properly for who they are rather than what else is kind of going on in their life.
Mine's a bit more so it's less of a practical thing, but I have kind of, when I say learned, I mean learned from other people. I think I've always been like this, but also I've really seen it from other people who aren't like this, that I think the only way to have close relationships, and particularly actually close female friendships, is to, when I say give 100% of yourself, I mean to be your most transparent self and to not ever hide things. And that doesn't mean you have to give everything to people at all times, but friendship barriers are broken the more honest you are, and the more and just open you are about your own life. And I don't mean kind of facing up to problems. I just mean, you know, just being like, oh, you know what, this is awful because I'm going through this and I'm finding this really difficult. Or I just think the more open you are as a person, you have to, like, it sounds really like preachy and like new worldy, but you literally have to open yourself up to friendships in order to have those close relationships.
I think as well with that, then checking in with people and like really checking in with them, not just being like, hey, things are well, like how are you, whatever. But I think everyone's kind of always got their own shit going on. And I think then if kind of you are open and honest, like with yourself and then with your friends, I think it kind of creates a real bond that you can't compare with anything
else. Yeah, agreed. Okay, final question. Oh, well, obviously somebody says, please can we see more of Sarah Templeman's wardrobe? Yes, it's coming, we know. Finally, all-time favourite perfume, please. Ooh. Heather, what's your go-to at the moment?
Yeah, I'm working my way through a few of Maison Margiela replicas at the moment. I've got Jazz Club, which we spoke about a lot. Beach Walk, which is my favourite and much more sort of summery than Jazz Club. I really like all those really smoky ones, but yeah, I'm trying to like branch out with some summery ones. So yeah, they're like current phase, but I do love Yves Saint Laurent cinema. So for like a really old school one, if we're talking like old favourites, that's one that I've loved for, yeah, like sort of 20 years or so.
What about you?
I don't know if I'd say this is my like ultimate favourite, but sort of my go-to, my like standard go-to is Diptyque Dauphin and Le Labo Teint Noir. But I don't feel like I've got like my signature scent yet.
I feel like, so Teint Noir, I would describe as your signature scent because it makes me think of you, but I actually don't think you've worn it recently at all.
No.
Like, but it used to be very much like, oh, that's Lou coming down the corridor.
Do you not have any that, yeah, you used to wear when you were like early 20s or still wear?
No.
Oh, no.
I had Givenchy Hot Couture and I used to, oh my God, I was obsessed.
I liked that they had a tall pink one.
Yeah, with like a lady on the front of it.
I liked that one.
Sorry, but Victor and Rolf Flowerbomb and Tierra Mugler Angel, those were my like teenage year obsessions. So sweet,
the Ralph Lauren blue one as well. I remember that was cool.
Sorry, but also the Jean-Paul Gaultier blue, the man, the out of the body. Yes. Oh my God, I wore that for years. Yeah. Yeah. There was also a Gucci red brick. It was like, it looked like a brick. One. Oh, it was unreal. I loved it.
I think it's nice to kind of treat your fragrances almost a bit like your wardrobe and have a few.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think they do smell so different onto so many different people. Mm.
Yeah, you're right.
It's also boring. It's like clothes. Completely. Yeah, you want to mix it up. It's more fun to smell different.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that Ralph Lauren, you were just mentioning, that smelled like our school sort of cloakroom. So I never had it, but it was so sweet. You used to really get up your nose.
That was Abercrombie Fierce for me back in the day. Yeah. It's, oh my God, what a fit smell.
Impulse as well. Do you remember that? Yes. Like, that was like Ascend.
Oh, I loved those.
What was oh my God, what was the one that boys would wear?
Links Africa.
Links Africa.
Yeah.
I still think
that smells incredible. Yeah.
It's like a fit boy.
Yeah, if my boyfriend suddenly wore that, I'd probably be like, hello. You smell good. Yeah.
I agree.
Sounds like testosterone.
But that's like the 16-year-olds in us.
Yeah.
We should all move on. Ever since we did that Jo Malone haul on the show a few weeks ago, I've been obsessed with their, I think it's Cypress. It's spelled like Cypress with two S. I don't know. Cypress and Grapevine scent. It is unreal.
Do you guys have bougie smelling soaps?
Yeah, we talk about this all the time.
Because I went to a friend's house the other day and they had the most insane Jo Malone soap.
Like hand soap.
Or hand soap.
But like a soap, a bar of soap.
No, like a squirt.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Oh, I've not smelled any Jo Malone ones.
It just, it's like stayed on my hand. It was like I'd put perfume on my hands.
Oh.
It just stayed for so long and I was like, all right, I just need to get out of this. And we've got one Aesop at home, which is kind of for special occasions, but it's so expensive that
it's not sustainable to have it all
you can't,
the time.
I don't know. We can't just have it by the loo. I feel like you are the
specific. Yeah, I really there are certain things that I really prioritize and some nice smelling things in my home is one of them. And somebody bought me for my 30th. They ordered from Hotel Cost in Paris their hand soap.
Yeah.
And when I say it is the most unbelievable, I'll bring it in so you can all have a little sniff. It is incredible.
We've done the rest of our flat, but the bathroom is not done. And so this like lovely bottle of Aesop just really stands out in the bathroom.
Maybe once you've done that, you can be like,
I work hard. I feel like I can.
Yeah, you can do it.
But they do last a long time.
Yeah,
they really do. People.
For some reason, I'm stuck in a sort of supermarket.
No, I hear you. I'm kind of the same.
But when I go to other people, I think, why don't I just do this? Yeah. This is so nice.
There's one, there's a brand that's on Net-a-Porter called C.O. Bigelow. And I bought a bergamot set from there. Yeah. And it is unbelievable. That plus the cost one. I'm a bit over Aesop now, I have to be honest. Yeah. It's just a bit mainstream, I think.
I think when you see it in every restaurant loo, I can imagine if you do buy it yourself, it's probably a bit like,
I love the look of the Austin one.
Me too. And then they're really affordable.
Yeah, they're like £14.
Yeah.
I'm just going to treat myself, guys.
I think you should. Yeah.
I got given a Byredo hand scrub.
Oh, sorry. I love the scrubs.
It's amazing. Mm. Like, I use it maybe once a week. That's what I was just thinking about, Lou, when you said it stays, the scent stays on your hands until you next wash them.
That's exactly what you want.
It's amazing.
Lewis did get me the Byredo rose one for Christmas. And the bottle was really cool. And then I filled it up with like a care box afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
But, the rose smells so good.
Yeah.
It's a good present, that.
I was just thinking, I'd probably buy it for other people as a present, but not for myself.
Yeah, I know,
it's
nice.
So too indulgent, but yeah, really nice present.
Yeah, and cheaper than perfume, so if you want to smell nice. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, I think we'll leave it there. There were some really good questions that came in, and I'm sad that we weren't able to get to all of them, but maybe we'll spread them out over the coming weeks. But please do keep them coming in. We always put a question box out the weekend before a podcast record, and also don't forget, you can email podcast@shaylax.com with any feedback and any questions you may have that you want the team to answer. Don't forget also to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.